This is Margot Lessaf reading The Fight Back. Far away, I can see the front line, slowly approaching. They're getting closer, but we are ready to fight. In a couple of seconds, we will be in touching distance. It's now or never. It was 8 o'clock when Catherine switched on the television. Carol Kirkwood was announcing a hot sunny day on BBC Breakfast. Catherine was putting her trainers on. Perfect day for a run, she thought. She enjoyed occasional early morning runs in Hyde Park before work, but she had been running almost every day since she came back from Madagascar. Catherine worked for a humanitarian aid organization and was often asked to go on various missions around the world. During the 3 years she had been working for the organization, she had learned that when you leave a country hit by immense poverty, you have to leave your dreadful memories with it. But since she came back from Madagascar, it was haunting her every day, every night. They are a few hundred. It is tough, but I know that we will be able to restrain them. After all this time, it seems like we're finally taking over. If we concentrate and focus all our efforts, we will neutralize them all. Catherine was speeding up. What is it about that last trip that affects you so much? How is it different from what you have seen before? She asked herself. Come on, Catherine. You need to forget. You need to move on. She was convinced that the faster she ran, the harder it would be for her memories to catch up with her. 10, 50, 100. Wait, no. They must be close to 1,000 right now. Another offensive. In fact, no. The intruders are just multiplying at an insane speed. I thought we were done. I thought we counteracted them all. If they continue, we won't be able to cope. Catherine had to slow down. Something felt ticklish in her chest as she was heavily breathing in and out, which forced her to cough. Not the sort of dry cough you make before clearing your throat, but a chesty, painful one. She stopped and rested against a tree. She had been coughing for a couple of weeks now, but it was the first time she had to interrupt her running routine. We are invaded. The situation is now out of control. I have sent out a message to the next plan of defense, and they should be on their way. We must resist. Catherine went back home with a feeling of constriction in her chest. She went to the bathroom, undressed, and climbed into the shower. The cool water was streaming down her pale skin, which felt delightful on this sweltering summer day. She was starting to relax when she felt an acute and sharp pain coming from her lungs. She coughed and coughed again. After having caught her breath, she came out of the shower and wrapped herself in a towel. As she was getting dressed to go to work, she gave herself a long, disapproving stare in the mirror. She had lost a lot of weight since she came back from Madagascar. Under the touch of her hand, her cheekbone felt like it was protruding from her face. They are everywhere, flowing in all directions. We're becoming weaker and weaker. The other line of defense is nowhere to be seen. It appears that the communication is not getting through. If they are not here soon, it will be over. The mission was based on community development. My team and I had a variety of tasks, from building schools in Malagasy slums to Everyone was staring at her. Catherine started to panic. Catherine, are you all right? Asked one of her colleagues. Please, excuse me. Catherine hastily left her meeting. Too much time had elapsed. Reinforcement is not coming. It is as though they haven't detected the intruders. The situation is overwhelming. We are too few, and it seems like all of our drastic efforts are not making any difference in this hopeless fight. She felt a hint of embarrassment as she rushed to the restroom, but the pain emerging from her chest was excruciating. She had to leave. Her legs were aching, even her arms and back. A drop of sweat ambled slowly down her forehead. She opened the restroom's window. It turned out to be warmer outside. She closed the window. What is wrong with me? She rested her palm on her moist forehead. I must have a fever, she thought. Her breath made a wheezing sound, and she had a strange metallic taste in her mouth. She went over to the sink to rinse her mouth when she saw a bright red liquid running down the sink hole. She suddenly felt lightheaded. then nothing. Except the cold hard floor beneath her motionless self. It's too late now. We all know that we can't do anything against this infectious vermin. They're spreading like pest, scattering through every possible cavity. The battle is lost. Catherine heard the squeaking sound of the door, and then steps. She painfully opened her eyes. "Hi, Dr. Shepherd," she mumbled. "Hi, Mrs. Cooper. I have your results." She could feel a hint of compassion in his trembling and hesitant voice. For a few seconds, she felt like the floor was dropping underneath her hospital bed. Her heart was racing and echoed in a sharp thud inside her ears. This can be good news. "Mrs. Cooper, you have contracted pleural tuberculosis. The disease is at an advanced stage. Your immune system has not been strong enough to fight against the infection." "I'm sorry, Mrs. Cooper,"